Good to see each one of you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. God is so good, and it privileges us, you know, to come together this morning on a beautiful Sunday morning, Lord's Day morning, to worship and give praise to Him. And so it's a privilege to be here with you today. Message today is about your inheritance. And we all have an inheritance. Somebody know that we got an inheritance, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter, in the first chapter in 1 Peter. And I trust, you know, as we share this morning and are together for this time, that God will just pour out His Spirit into your heart. And when we leave this place today, we'll leave here encouraged and blessed and better prepared to serve the Lord. And so this is why we come this morning. We're going to pray at the end of the service this morning for those who have any kind of need this morning. We're a needy people. There are physical, spiritual, all kinds of needs that we have. And so at the close of the service today, we'll leave time to pray for needs that you might have or that you know about. We have our prayer focus, our prayer list, those who are listed there. And there are many that need our prayer this morning. I talked to the Lord about this message many, many times, and I'm convinced this is what He wants me to share with you today. But let's ask and make sure, all right? Father, we just bow before You this morning and give You thanks. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the power that there is in the Word of God. And as we gather this morning, for this short time, we just pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would direct our thoughts and our minds and quicken our spirits. Help us to be better prepared, Father, to be Your servants, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. And Peter was writing to the elect, those who had been scattered abroad, it tells us here. And to the very various places that he's writing to, Galatia, Pontus, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and all the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, those who had been under persecution, and now they had been scattered, and he's writing to them words of encouragement and words of blessing. How many need a word of encouragement? We need to be encouraged, and we find it in God's Word. And here's Peter. And I can imagine as Peter was writing this letter to those who had were not there, he was thinking about how they were getting along, what was happening in their lives. And as he begins to write, he can almost sense and feel the excitement that Peter had concerning what God had accomplished through His Son Jesus. And so here he is in verse, we're going to start with verse 2, and he's writing, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied." And then in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now here it is, "to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven." Now this is that's encouraging words, because there's a time in the future where we're going to inherit what is promised here, an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and it doesn't fade away. Now, how many know that that the treasures that we have here on earth don't last long? And in the economic time that we're in, we understand that a lot of people have lost a lot of money, and things have not looked good for a lot of people, out of jobs and all kinds of things. But here Peter's looking for the day, that day down the road when we leave this earth in this place, and we're all going to leave here one day. One day we're all going to leave here. Unless Jesus comes first and then takes us, we're just going to go to our graves sometime in the future. Amen? Amen. And so we're preparing ourselves, and I trust this morning as we share some more thoughts here that you'll understand where I'm heading, that this inheritance is for you and for me, and it's reserved in heaven for us. And this inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled. That inheritance is going to be there, and so for you and I. Now, it talks in verse 2, it talks about the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Now, last Sunday, Pastor Jim talked a lot about the blood of Jesus. And this week, I've been reading about the blood of Jesus. In the Decision magazine, it's filled with the blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed on Calvary for you and me. And you think about it. What it costs for Jesus to go to the cross that we might receive that inheritance. I say, thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. The songs that we sang this morning fit right in because he loved us so much. And, you know, I'm confident this morning that if we could just comprehend, just somehow get a hold of how much God really cares for us and how he enters into every heartache and every tear that's shed, every trial that comes, that God is right there. And he sees and he knows, and he's asking you and me to call out to him for his intervention in the things that are happening right here and right now that are preparing us for the day that through all of eternity we're going to be in the very presence of Almighty God. Amen. Now, this it talks about this spirit then. It says that the resurrection in verse 3, it talks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, for Peter, this was exciting because he walked with Jesus. He touched him. He handled him. Like in John's little letters, John said, we know he's real. We touched him. We handled him. We saw him. He walked with us. And so Peter here is very much aware that Jesus was alive. He saw him. 500 people saw him after the resurrection from the dead. So we know that he is alive and he's real. And that same power, and this is in Paul, in his letter to the church at Rome, he's praying here that same power that raised Christ from the dead might dwell in you and me. That resurrection power might be at work in you and me. That we were dead in trespasses and sin. And that resurrection power, the shed blood of Jesus, resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power is at work in your life, in mine, to take us from a life dead in trespasses and sin to a place where we're alive, spiritually alive, and in the presence, in the rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. And that's for us right now. That's not an inheritance down the road. That's not for the sweet by and by. But right here this morning, where we're seated and where we are, we can rejoice in the fact that resurrection power is at work in my life, causing me to become more godly, and he dwells within me, and he's helping me each day to walk with him and to serve him in the way that he wants me to do. Amen? Say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that resurrection power is alive and on the earth this morning. To take me from where I was to where I need to be. And I'm confident this morning if people really understood, if we really could kind of comprehend, and I think apart from a revelation by the Holy Spirit, we really can't get a hold of what it all means to have this power at work in your life and mine. I don't think we really comprehend what it all means. One day we'll see more clearly what it costs and what it meant for Jesus to go to the cross for us and where we were and where he wanted us to be and how he wanted us to help us in our walk with him. Someday we'll understand more clearly. Now, there has to be a spiritual rebirth. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but it says here that we've been begotten again in verse 3. Begotten again to a lively hope. And this is, we were born, and now we're born again. And we were spiritually dead, now we're spiritually alive. And we're spiritual beings. Amen? Amen. Somebody say amen. I'm a spiritual being. And Christ dwells within me. I'm not like the world. I'm not like the people who are serving the devil. I'm serving the living God. And he dwells within me. Can't you get excited about that? Amen. I say, thank you, Lord, that you're very real to us this morning. And we've been begotten again into a lively hope through Christ Jesus, who was raised from the dead, just as you and I. Dead in trespasses and sin, and now we are alive and spiritually alive. And somehow we have that contact, that communion with the Lord Jesus. And he talks to us, and he walks with us, and he shares with us, he speaks to us. And there's such communion as we walk with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll talk more about this inheritance. Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, and in the three Gospels, it carries this message, both in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it talks about what will it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world down here, and in the end of it all, lose his soul. Now, the three Gospels carry that message. What profit will it be if gain the whole world, everything down here in this life, and in the end of it all, when we get to the end of this life, that we our names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which we'll share with you at the end here. But think about that, that all of that we can accumulate means nothing compared to the value of your soul. This morning, God is looking down upon you and me, and he sees your soul and the value of your soul. One day we're going to live on forever in the presence of the Lord, or else we're separated from the Lord, one or the other. That's our choice now this morning. And I trust that everyone here, you've made up your mind. God is so good. You came out Sunday morning at 8:30 to hear the Word of God. And you came to worship the Lord and to bask in his presence and to give thanks to the Lord. You're not interested in the things of the world anymore. You understand that the things that are eternal, the things that count, are the treasures that we lay up in heaven. And the Bible tells us here that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, where he talks there about not laying up treasures upon earth again, and where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, and things are temporal down here. But one day through all of eternity, you and I are going to be in the presence of the Lord. Think about that. Thank you, Lord. Well, we can spend a little time with him now, and we sense his presence. We sense the love of God. We sense the peace and the joy that only he can bring. We sense that now, but one day, through all of eternity, we have this living hope that we will be in the presence of the resurrected Lord. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. This is what Paul said. He prayed. That same Spirit that made Jesus alive will make you spiritually alive and sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And it's so good to be around people who have been in contact with the Lord. Down through the years, you know, I think of the people who were godly people who knew how to pray and touch God in prayer. And it was just kind of good to be around them. You just sense a peace and a joy and a comfort being near them. And down through the years, there have been many people like that that have been an influence in my life. And I say, Lord, thank you for sending godly people to help me to know and to understand what it means to be in communion with you. All right, then we'll go on here. Okay, good. Or an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So there's a reservation. There's a reservation. There is an inheritance that is awaiting for you and for me. Now, Paul, in his letter to Timothy, and it was at the end of his ministry, and he knew that. He knew that he was coming to the close of his work here on earth, And so Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verses 7 and 8. Now let's just turn there, just back a few pages from where we're at here. But chapter 4, and we're in 2 Timothy, and we're going to read from beginning at verse 7. And this is Paul's letter now to his protege Timothy, and a letter of encouragement to Timothy and a letter of blessing to him. But here's Paul's words, and he knew his life here was almost done, almost over. And he said, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that last day. And not for me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Are you looking for the coming again of the Lord? The promise is, you know, we expect it, and I'm sure as you read your scriptures and have heard the prophetic preaching and teaching, you know very well that we're very near the coming again of the Lord. The signs are everywhere. It's unmistakable that the Lord is coming back, and he's coming soon. All things point that way because of the things that are happening in our just in our lifetime. Things have just been kind of revved up, things have happened so rapidly just in our lifetime. And so we know that we're in that time period when Jesus is coming back, and he's coming for those who love his appearing. And, you know, we get caught up in so busy doing things and that we kind of perhaps neglect a little bit, realizing that this might be the last day we have here. This might be the day that Jesus comes again. And maybe I should have talked to somebody about Jesus. Maybe I should have brought them before the Lord in prayer. I remember whenever my ears begin to ring, I cry out to God for my family. That's my sign. And when you get to be my age, then your ears ring quite often. And so you cry out to God for your family. I start from the oldest and go down to the youngest ones, and then the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. And oh, God, just watch over and protect and keep them. I don't know what they're going through right now, but you do. And you know what they need. And I just pray, Father, that you'd protect them, because it's hard to tell what they're going through. But what I'm saying here is Paul is confident that those who love his appearing, there is an inheritance awaiting them. And Paul called it a crown of righteousness, and I don't understand all that that means, but he said, there's a waiting for me. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And I trust this morning that you have determined in your heart to keep the faith and to just go deeper in the things of the Lord and cry out to God daily and seek the face of God, that he might just work a work in your life, and as you draw near to him and become more godly, and as the Holy Spirit moves in your life, and you're able to reach out and touch people's lives everywhere, that you know that it's going to, that's laying up treasures in heaven. And this is what he's told us to do. Not here on earth. The things here aren't going to count much. We're going to have to leave those things here. And we know people have accumulated a lot of things. When I drive out on that East River Road, and I look at Verdi Pepin's tractors and his cars, and I say, Verdi, what are you going to do with those when you're not here? Anybody drive out on that road out there, he's got all kinds of tractors and cars, and I don't think he'd part with one of them. He won't let one go. I don't think he'd sell them. He's going to hang on to them. I say, what are you going to do when you leave this earth with all those tractors and all those cars and all those things that are there? Now Verdi might have a beautiful relationship with the Lord as well. I don't know. I don't know Verdi that well, but I want to, every time I drive past there, I say, now, what are you going to do with all this stuff when you go to, you know, leave this life? Well, we tend to hang on to things pretty tightly, don't we, here? We tend to make things here pretty important to us. And the Bible tells us that there's an inheritance waiting for those that will spend time in the presence of the Lord and wait upon him and commit themselves daily to him. Now, let's see, I wanted to cover, okay. In Revelation, the second chapter, in the third chapter as well, it talks about the different churches, the seven churches and the letter that was written to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Those letters were written to them, and it talked to them about the things that were good about them, the things that they were lacking. But at the end, it said, the letter says, that the one that overcomes, the one, the overcomers, there's going to be, in Ephesus, it was they'd be granted to eat of the tree of life. To Smyrna, it said the second death will have no effect on you, won't hurt you. And Pergamos was hidden manna, if you are an overcomer, to these churches. And then Thyatira, power over the nations, to this church. Sardis, it said that you'll be clothed in white garments. In Philadelphia, it said that they would give him a new name. And Laodicea, he would grant to sit with him on his throne. But those who are overcomers. Now, how do I become an overcomer in this walk with the Lord? Well, in Revelations 12 and 11, it says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We accept what Jesus did on the cross. He died for me, shed innocent blood, that I might be redeemed from my sin, that my sins are covered. He doesn't remember them anymore. I read an article this week where someone said that they believe that people kind of hang on to and don't let go of the things that are in the past that are covered by the blood. We're troubled by things that have happened, and we still are concerned about them and not really aware that they're covered by the blood of Jesus. As far as the east is from the west, if you have come to the Lord and repented of sin, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. He doesn't remember them anymore, but sometimes people hang on to those things and are troubled by them and allow them to hurt them. Now, the blood of Jesus covers my sin and remembers my sin no more. And I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. My word this morning is that I came to the realization that my sins were overwhelming. And if I continued on that same walk, that I would be separated eternally from a God who loves me. And so there came a day and a time in my life when I said, Jesus, I'm sorry. I repent of my sin. And I ask you to come and be the Lord of my life. And I began to share with people. And, you know, I was like in my 30s at the time, and it's kind of hard after you've been living for the devil and they know what kind of person you are. You're not a godly person. It's kind of hard then to begin to share with people what Jesus has done. I'm not that person anymore, but I had to do it. I had to make some restitution. I had to make up from things that I could make restitution over. I had to make some apologies and take care of some of those things in order to get my relationship with the Lord right. And so, I took care of that, and that's under the blood. And my testimony this morning, the word of my test makes me an overcomer, is the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Thank you, Jesus, that the blood of Jesus washes and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And I stand complete in him this morning. And you too, I trust, everyone here this morning, that you too are covered by the blood of Jesus, and that you know what it means to have your sins forgiven, and that you are walking in the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus. Not only that, but we are kept by the power of God. It tells us here in 1 Peter in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. That not only are we saved, but we are kept by the power of God. He keeps us from falling. He holds us in the hollow of his hand. And this morning, we don't need to be, no person or man can take us away from him. It's only a personal decision that we make. That it says that we are kept by faith by the power of God, kept by the power of God through faith in him. We are kept from falling. And he'll help us daily through the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll make us overcomers. He'll empower us to be victorious. And in verse 7 talks about trials that will come. Oftentimes people believe that maybe the trial is something that they've done wrong and God is kind of getting even with them. But it tells us here that trials come, and one of the reasons that it gives here is that your faith might grow. That because of the trials that you face, that in verse 7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus. And so here, your trials that you go through are precious because they cause you to become stronger in your trust in the Lord. When trials come, you turn to the Lord. And He comes and He intervenes and He helps us in all of our needs and our trials and temptations. And we grow stronger as the trials come. And we've gone through some things. And because I've gone through this thing, I can help you through this thing. Whatever trial or trouble that might be. But we know that there are going to be trials and afflictions and troubles in this life. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But then the second part of that is, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Praise the Lord. So we are going to have afflictions while we're here, but the Lord has promised that He's going to deliver us out of them all. Kept by the power of God through faith. We haven't seen Him. We don't. Now, Peter had seen the Lord. He walked with Him. All these years he had been with us, 3 years or more, he had been with Jesus. And he touched Him, handled Him. He knew He was real. He saw Him after His resurrection. And so he saw Him. But he said, you haven't seen Him, but believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And here it is this morning, that we have every reason to rejoice and be exceeding glad because of the joy that we have received from our forgiveness, our washing and cleansing, purifying, sanctifying, separating unto the Lord. We haven't seen Him, but by faith we know He's real. We sense His presence. We sense the power of God at work in our lives. We've seen the transforming work in people's lives. Where people have been walking, did 180 degrees. They're not the same person anymore. They've fallen in love with Jesus, and they're doing all the right things, serving God. And so here it is. We rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. One of the things I think that if Jesus were to walk in here physically this morning, He would say, why aren't you getting happy when you realize what you have? Why aren't you rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory over what you have this morning? We have the assurance of salvation. We have an inheritance awaiting us in heaven, incorruptible, undefiled, and it'll not fade away through all of eternity. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to just run around and find some people that influenced me through the years. I'm going to find you there probably. And I think... I don't know if I dare to get a little bit lighthearted here or not, but they were telling about these two baseball players, and one had died and gone to heaven. He came back, and he was talking to his friend, and you probably heard the story already. He said, well, it's good news and bad news. The good news is that there's a place for you there. The bad news is you're scheduled to pitch next Sunday. So, okay, well, praise the Lord. Are you happy this morning in the Lord? Isn't God good, and isn't it exciting to know that we can rejoice this morning with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the world needs to see smiling faces and a confidence that the world can't give and it can't take away. I'm assured this morning as if I'm already there because of the promises of God. And I know that if I should slip and fall, that He's there to help pick me up and help me on my walk with Him. And I'm not perfect, but I'm working on it. And He's helping. He's helping me on my walk with Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I wanted to close with this, and my time is running short, but let's just look at Revelation, because there is a book of life, and there are books that are being kept on your life and mine. And in your bulletin, we've listed that, and I've got much more to share with you here, but I want to close with this, because there are books that are being kept, and your name is going to be somewhere. Your name is going to be somewhere. in Revelation 20. You'll turn with me there, Revelation 20. And I want to read the last verses of that 20th chapter, beginning with verse 12. And it goes like this. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead, which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. I don't know about you, but I know some people that went out into eternity and rejecting Christ. My grandfather, they tell me, I wasn't there. My grandfather was not a godly person, and he had nothing to do with the church all his life, all the time I knew him. And on his deathbed, they tried to encourage him to turn to the Lord. And he turned his face to the wall, they tell me, and he said, just leave me alone. And as far as we know, according to God's word, that he's suffering the torments of hell today. There are people, perhaps, that I should have witnessed to. And I know that I can't take all the blame for people's decisions, and there are opportunities that come. But I believe this morning that more than anything else, that God wants us to make sure that when opportunity comes to share the love of Jesus, that we don't miss that opportunity. Because there is an inheritance awaiting those, like Paul said, those who love is appearing. There's an inheritance awaiting those. And then the second place that I'd like for you to read with me is Revelation 21. And beginning in verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it. And this is, they're talking about the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so this morning, our names are written somewhere. There's a record kept somewhere. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, then, you know, today is the day to do that, that he will write your name in the book of life, and that this inheritance that he talks about will be yours. And so I trust this morning that you know Jesus, that you've given your heart to him. If not, this is the day to surrender to him and say, Jesus, you come. You take control of my life. Amen.